All right, next speaker is Nia Hurst, also working with Dr. White at Louisiana State University. Nia is going to be speaking on evaluating nitrate reduction in a hydrologically restored bottomland hardwood forest. Is restoration working?
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Nia Hurst, and I'm a student in the Wetland and Aquatic Biogeochemistry Lab at Louisiana State University. And for the last couple of months, I have been looking at how the restoration of a bottomland hardwood forest affects nitrate reduction in river floodwaters. And I've been looking at this specifically in a site in the lower Mississippi Alluvial Valley, which, as you've heard from both Dr. White and Brian, has been having some trouble in the last few decades with increased nitrogen loading. To reiterate some of what they've already told you, a lot of this excess nitrogen comes from runoff from agricultural land. If you look here, you can see that the watershed of the Mississippi River is heavily concentrated in the central U.S., which is where most of our agricultural production occurs. So we get a lot of runoff from these fertilized lands. To emphasize how big of a problem this is, in 1972, the average nitrogen export of the Mississippi River was 300,000 metric tons. Today, it's 1.5 million. So we've seen a five-fold increase in nitrogen loading. Historically, we could reduce some of this nitrogen export through nitrate reduction in floodplain wetlands. And just as a reminder, nitrate reduction is a process mediated by microbes that reduces nitrate to either nitrogen gas, ammonium, or nitrous oxide. But in floodplain wetlands, reduction to nitrogen gas tends to be the dominant pathway. Now, as I said, this occurs in floodplain wetlands, which in the Mississippi Alluvial Valley would be bottomland hardwood forests. However, we've lost almost 80% of the bottomland hardwoods in the lower Mississippi Alluvial Valley, primarily due to agricultural conversion. In the 1600s, this is in millions of hectares, in the 1600s, we had almost 10 million hectares of bottomland hardwoods. Today, we have roughly around 2 million. Compared to 10 million, 2 million hectares is not a lot. But that number is going to seem even smaller when you consider the fact that the Mississippi River is a heavily levied system. There's 2,700 kilometers of levees lining both sides of the Mississippi River. And this has reduced our floodplain, floodwater interaction by 90%. So even when these hardwood forests are available and they're present, river floodwaters can't get to them, and nitrate reduction is heavily minimized. This allows excess nitrogen to be funneled straight into the Gulf of Mexico and create an area of hypoxia or low oxygen in the northern Gulf every single summer. If you look here, you can see that this is the coast of Louisiana, here's the coast of Texas, and this is our area of hypoxia, as you've seen from both Dr. White and Brian. And this year, the area of hypoxia was almost 17,000 square kilometers, or the size of both Connecticut and Rhode Island combined. Now, this issue of excess nitrogen is a pretty big issue for us in Louisiana because it affects fisheries, it affects aquatic life, but it really affects our economy. If you know anything about Louisiana, you might know that we thrive off of our seafood industry. So this is a pretty big deal for us. Before I go into my research, I would like to present the problem that I'm talking about here. We have an increase in nitrogen exports from the Mississippi River to the Gulf of Mexico, but a decrease in opportunities for nitrate reduction. These two issues together allow for excess nitrogen to be transported to the Gulf of Mexico and create an area of hypoxia. One of the solutions to this problem that has been proposed is to restore bottomland hardwood forests and reconnect them back to their rivers so that we can increase opportunities for nitrate reduction. And this is where my project comes in. My research site is a restored bottomland hardwood forest in northern Louisiana. It's known as Molesey Farms, and it borders the Ouachita River, which is a tributary of the Mississippi River. This site was a natural bottomland hardwood site, but in the 1960s, it was farmed, and a levee was placed around the perimeter of it to disconnect it from the Ouachita River. In the 1990s, the Nature Conservancy bought this property, and then with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they began to restore it. First, vegetatively, by planting over 3 million trees, and then hydrologically. So 6 years ago, they breached this levee in several places to reconnect the site back to the Ouachita River. If you look here, this is the northwest corner of the site, and here's where the levee was, and here you can see a breach in the levee. So now you can see water from the Ouachita River flowing into the site. This site is important for several reasons, but the main reason being is that it's very large. It's almost 6,500 hectares, and right now it is the largest floodplain reconnection and bottomland hardwood reforestation project in the U.S. So the results we get from restoration in this site could have implications for how we restore and manage other sites in the Mississippi Alluvial Valley. To give you all a better idea of the conditions in the site, I have a drone video taken the day I went out to sample. If you look here, this is Molesey Farms, my restored site. And as you can see, there are trees there, but they're very immature, it's very sparse vegetation, not very dense. If you look in the background, this is a natural bottomland hardwood site right across the Ouachita River. You can see they're very visually different. The site is very green, very lush, very mature, dense trees. And I was able to use this site here as a control site for my project. For my project, I have three main goals. First, I wanted to determine nitrate reduction in Molesey Farms and compare it to a control site. I wanted to investigate how the microbial community in Molesey Farms responded to restoration. And then I want to understand how the restoration of Molesey Farms would affect nitrate reduction in the Ouachita River. To do this, I established four sampling locations in each site, four in Molesey and four in the control site. At each site, I took 16 20 centimeter long intact cores, and I used 12 of them to evaluate nitrate reduction and the other four to analyze soil and microbial properties. For nitrate reduction, I flooded the cores with a 1 milligram per liter nitrate solution, which represents the nitrate concentration in the Ouachita River. And I incubated them for 15 days in the dark. I took water samples every other day to measure rate of nitrate loss. While this was going, I also measured soil physiochemical properties and beta-glucosidase enzyme activity for each site. To analyze my data, I used a one-way ANOVA, and I accepted any p-value below 0.1 as being significant. What I found was that in my restored site, bulk density was higher, significantly higher, and I had significantly lower total carbon and total nitrogen percentages, which you may expect from a restored area. For microbial measurements, my restored site also has significantly lower microbial biomass and a lower beta-glucosidase enzyme activity. And that may make sense because, in general, if you have a lower microbial biomass, you have lower enzyme activities. And also note that almost all of these values were highly significantly different. As far as nitrate reduction goes, nitrate reduction in Molesey Farms was significantly lower than that in the control site, with Molossi having reducing almost 12 milligrams of nitrate per meter squared per day, and the control site reducing 16.4. To put these numbers in actual terms, what this means is that after 6 years of hydrologic restoration, soil properties in the restored site have yet to meet those of a control site because we saw a higher bulk density and lower TCTN percentages. The same can be said for microbial characteristics. Microbial biomass in Molossi Farms was only 18% of that found in the control site, and we also saw lower enzyme activities. As far as how this impacts the Ouachita River, nitrate reduction in Molossi was approximately 72% of that found in the control site. Now, this number is not 100, but considering that hydrologic restoration only took place 6 years ago, I would argue that this number is pretty impressive. And to put this in actual terms of nitrate removal, Molossi Farms can remove over 48 metric tons of nitrates from the Ouachita River every year. And if you want to put this in terms of actual fertilizer, if you take a 15-pound bag of fertilizer that's 28% nitrogen, Molossi can remove over 25,000 bags of fertilizer. And this is just within the first 6 years of hydrologic restoration. Future studies should continue to monitor Molossi so that we can better gauge restoration trajectory. Earlier in my talk, I said that restoring bottleneck hardwood forests, that the results we got from this site could have implications for how we restore and manage other sites in the Mississippi Alluvial Valley. What this project tells us is that restoring bottleneck hardwood forests and reconnecting them back to their rivers can make a significant impact on nitrate reduction if given enough time. And also by doing this, we can reduce nitrogen export to the Gulf of Mexico and consequently reduce our area of hypoxia. I would like to thank my funding agency, the Louisiana Board of Regents, as well as the Nature Conservancy of Louisiana and Chris Rice at the Nature Conservancy. Thank you.
We do have time for questions.
Yes, you first.
So do you think this rate will change over time? How long was it after you flooded it that you did the measurements?
I would say we went out about maybe a week after water started to go down because we had to wait the entire summer because it was flooded for a long time. So I would say a week, like we got out right after while levels were low enough to get into the site.
But after the forest starts to regenerate, you start getting more organic matter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this rate would change?
I do. So I think that as we get more organic matter, as the site becomes older and as reconnection time is longer, I would assume that these rates of reduction would increase. So this is the first sampling we've done on soil within this site. So it's kind of the first gauge of nitrate reduction in this restored area. Yeah, pretty much. Yes.
It didn't look like the trees were doing well in this restored area. Could you have recommended a novel ecosystem to be established here that might have as much benefit for denitrification in lieu of a bottomland hardwood? Are there other types of wetlands here?
There probably could have been, but the Nature Conservancy bought this project and then they donated it to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to be a part of this, the Upper Ouachita Wildlife Refuge, which encompasses a lot of bottleneck hardwoods. So I would assume that like they would have wanted it to be a bottleneck hardwood site. Now, one of the main reasons why those trees aren't looking so well now is because they planted these trees and then before the levee was breached, and then the levee was breached by the river by force one year, and it hurt about 60% of those trees. So that was something that was unexpected in the site. So I would assume if that had not had happened, we would see much more dense vegetation if it didn't kill off almost 60% of those trees. Yes?
You measured bulk density, and I guess you found a significant difference,
mm-hmm.
even though it was quite small.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, how are you using that information
mm-hmm.
to evaluate the restoration site?
Bulk density. So if you want to gauge, so bulk density can give us an idea of, how much carbon is in the site, although I measure that as well. So bulk density can look at, how difficult or easy it is for roots to establish in this site. It also gives you an idea of how much organic matter is in the site, because organic matter really does help to feed nitrate reduction. So that's kind of how I would use a measurement of bulk density.
I was just going to say, your numbers are very low, and I don't think there'd be any root impeding effect. So
mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, bulk density is just, that's valid. I agree.